Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Means that the number one pick in the 2021 NBA draft goes to the Detroit Pistons.
Who's got the number one pick in this year's draft? Who's got the number one pick in this year's draft?
Basketball!
Select Isaiah Stewart.
The Detroit Pistons select Killian Hayes.
Sadiq, that was absolutely sensational.
I don't know what went into that process. I met the criteria to be selected, but I wasn't.
From long range. Oh! Yes! Yes!
Detroit basketball!
Pistons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mike Anguillon, and joining me, as always, is Aaron Johnson. And now, Jasper Apollonia. Fellas, how are we doing?
Doing good, Mike. Got some good stuff to talk about this week. Ready to get into it. We are a week away from the NBA draft. I'm so ready for it to be here. Still figuring out the logistics of our coverage for it. Been tossing around the idea of doing a live show during it. But nonetheless, whatever we do, very, very excited to get to that point. Finally figure out what's going to happen with this number one pick. And then just start thinking about Summer League, which is then like another week away, which is when I'm just going to be riding an all-time high as long as the draft goes as I have it planned, and we're going to be good to go.
Oh, man, I'm so excited for this draft in a week. And, you know, I do live in Brooklyn, so I don't want to promise anything, but there might be a chance if we do something live for the draft that I will be calling in or perhaps recording a little something for Palace of Pistons. But either way, we're almost there. We're so close. I can taste it practically. So yeah, let's get it on.
Jasper, you can't tease that you're going to have a video and not have one. Now you have to have one. You have to have something.
Well, you know, we'll see if the
otherwise
Palace
you're gonna be walking it back.
That's right. Well, we'll see if the Palace of Pistons broadcast fund comes through. Those draft tickets don't come cheap, so we'll see what happens.
The broadcast fund? This is news. This is news to me.
Jasper's running a private fund for us.
Interesting.
Don't worry. I'm only skimming a little bit off the top.
Oh, and just a little bit. Just sound like
just a little. Just a little taste for Daddy.
Just a couple of quarters.
That's right.
Well, yes, fellas, we have 1 week left. I'm ecstatic. I can't wait for this to just happen and move on because I'm sick of seeing all of the speculation, all the people that are just getting into their own head and coming up with convoluted ideas of what's going to happen. We just needed the draft to happen. Everybody can react, understand it, and we can move forward and we can start to game plan what this roster is going to look like and how the Pistons are going to approach or should approach free agency and how other teams might be reacting after the draft. There's a lot of pressure on some teams to start to win. So I think that could make for some kookiness over the next couple of weeks here heading into Summer League. But first, some Pistons news of the week, a couple of quick hitters. Jeremy Grant was cleared for the Tokyo Olympics, and he has been traveling with Team USA. Team USA has been battling COVID-19 protocols and problems for a while. Zach LaVine was the most recent one, I believe, to go from out to now he's back in and he's good to go. Isaiah Stewart, who we had mentioned previously on the podcast, with really no news about him and his bum ankle, he was spotted in a walking boot at a Detroit Tigers game. And Sekou Doumbouya, who may be the forgotten young man on the roster. He was in a King shirt. He was said to be working out with Rico Hines, who works out a lot of Sacramento Kings players in California. So some quick hitters. Hopefully we get some news on Isaiah Stewart, because once again, that is a kind of weird, quiet situation out there. But good that he at least has received treatment like Brian Windhorst had said. Yeah, it just strange. Like if he had to have surgery or something, why not just say it? Or if he needed to heal up and rest and needed some special procedure or something, why not just say it? I don't know. Whatever. I think our Pistons news of the week next week will be a lot more interesting. ideally not in the way that the Pistons just traded away a pick. And I think you'd be willing to bet on next week being a lot more interesting. And speaking of betting, July is underway and it's a great month for sports. If you're into sports betting, BetOnline is where you can find it. BetOnline has all the latest odds, news, and information for all your online sports betting needs. Visit the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So before the next tip-off, face-off, or pitch, head on over to BetOnline and start playing today. BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts. And they included an interesting betting line here. Damian Lillard, next team if he's traded. I just want to hit on this really quick. If you guys are also looking at these odds, they have the Knicks, Sixers, and Warriors as the top three teams. First off, real quick, is Damian Lillard getting traded this offseason?
No.
I'm with Aaron. No. It doesn't There's nothing that really makes sense. That I don't see how you can trade him and either team is necessarily going to feel like they really got the better of that deal. If for me, CJ McCollum still is the guy. If somebody's going to get moved, it's going to be CJ McCollum. And the only thing I could really think of is like the 76ers with Ben Simmons, perhaps, but that doesn't really make sense because is either team necessarily in a better position after that? Maybe the Sixers are.
I think the Sixers are.
Yeah, but I mean, they still have a lot of defensive issues. They have so many defensive issues then. Like, we've seen it with the Trailblazers themselves. Like, when you have a backcourt that can't stop anyone defensively, it's hard to win games. It really is. So, if you're the Trailblazers in that position, like, CJ McCollum and Ben Simmons as your core is not inspiring any sort of confidence, so...
Well, the next couple teams on that list, Heat, they're always superstar hunting. They're always seemingly on these lists. Clippers and Lakers both reside in Los Angeles, and that's why they're on there. I don't understand what sort of trade the Lakers could possibly put together at all. Boston, Dallas, now that's interesting. And then the Raptors, which is also interesting, / not going to happen either. So fun exercise.
Cut to Lakers fans losing their minds, screaming at you, Kyle Kuzma and Horton Tucker, plus a first rounder. Why not? That's enough for Damian Lillard.
Yeah, I think a lot of Lakers fans have even come around to Kyle Kuzma, like, should be playing in the Chinese league now.
Oh, God. Tough. How depressing, just 1 year after a title. They're like, yeah, he's our third best player. Probably right. Shouldn't be in the league, though.
Yeah. There was something floating around about trading for Russell Westbrook and having a sign-in trade with Dennis Schroeder. And I don't think the CBA allows for that, but of course it went viral because it's the Lakers acquiring a superstar. So
the Lakers trying to put the best team of 2015 together. That sounds awesome.
That team in 2015 would be nuts.
Would be sick. Right. Less so in 2022.
Yeah. I mean, no, you're right. So that's a fun little exercise. But let's go ahead and get into our first topic, which is the Pistons have brought in four major draft prospects for workouts. That is, of course, from ESPN's Jonathan Givony, Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Jalen Suggs, and Evan Mobley. Cunningham has only had one scheduled workout. That is with the Pistons. And in that article from ESPN, it says that Cade would be very pleased if he was drafted by Detroit. And then the icing on the hype cake is Cade was spotted in Detroit at a Tigers game on Monday. And I believe the Tigers routed the Rangers 13-0.
Oh, don't take Givony's word for it. You can just DM Cade's older brother on Instagram. He'll tell you himself that he's excited to be in Detroit. So...
Seriously, dude, that's going to be the thing that drives Cade Cunningham out of Detroit, is his brother getting probably excess of 1,000 Instagram messages a day from Pistons fans in regards to Cade. I mean, it's actually kind of scary how many screenshots I've seen of responses from Kanan Cunningham with a Pistons fan asking, is Cade coming to Detroit, or something about the Pistons and Cade. It's kind of scary, but
bless him for responding.
Yeah, really.
Couldn't be me.
No, I mean, I'm surprised that he's even allowed to respond. Like, if that went viral, somebody within the family would be like, hey, what the heck are you doing, man? What are you doing?
I don't know. Cunningham's been pretty vocal. I mean, even on the lottery night, he had a video that came out from his camp with him actively celebrating the Pistons getting the number one pick. So I don't think it's any sort of a secret that he does want to be in Detroit, and he's willing to tell anyone that's going to listen that that's the case.
He was also actively happy that Cleveland did not get the first pick. So, you know, there's positives and negatives.
Hey, man.
So the Pistons bringing in four of those prospects. Any reason for fears? That's just, you know, what the team does, doing their due diligence, so to speak.
So I said this earlier this week, and I'm just going to bring it to this podcast because I said it on the Everything Pistons podcast that I was a guest on. But as time goes on, I'm still 90-10 that the Pistons are drafting Cade Cunningham, maybe even 95-5. But it is still just a little, and it's getting a little more concerning to me that we're a week away from the draft and we still have not gotten, after the deliberation, the Pistons are going to end up with Cade Cunningham. Like, there's still all these different reports, all these different things coming out, linking the Pistons to liking someone else. They're bringing in these four guys, which is their due diligence. They should do it anyway. I mean, these are guys that could end up being on your team down the line, whether you trade for them or sign them in free agency. But at the same time, there's still nothing that says the Pistons are focused on Cade Cunningham. They're going to draft Cade Cunningham. And I feel like we have gotten that by now for at least the majority of previous drafts. Like, Zion was obvious. I feel like we already knew Anthony Edwards was a Timberwolf by now. You go back throughout the recent years, and it just, I feel like we knew. And instead of getting that confirmation, there's a different report popping up.
Jasper, do you hear Aaron?
Oh, yeah. Loud and clear.
Yeah, so I'm just at a point where I'm not, like, overly concerned, but I'm a little concerned. And this is due diligence. It's not that big of a deal, but I think when you add everything up, it's like, man, Thursday the 29th needs to get here fast, because I want to see what's really going on here.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat as you, Aaron. For me, I've said Cade is the guy all along. I think he's the best player in this draft, and the Pistons are in a position where they should be taking the best player in the draft. There's also a part of it where I think Troy Weaver runs a pretty tight ship, and things are not going to be getting out, even if they are true, even if they are seemingly intuitive. I'm not sure that you're ever really going to see leaks from a Troy Weaver camp. The other thing to keep in mind here is, like we've said on this podcast, if the Pistons don't take Cade Cunningham, it's very likely that they're going to be trading with somebody, meaning that they're still going to get an excellent, excellent player in either Jalen Green or Evan Mobley. And they're also going to be getting other draft capital, other players, whatever it may be. So yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think it's like 95-5. They end up going with Cade. But if for some reason they don't, I'm not going to be thrilled, but I'm willing to trust Troy Weaver enough at this point in his ability to evaluate talent to where I'm going to roll with it. It's not going to be like an SVG taking Luke Kennard over Donovan Mitchell type deal where it was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I think at this point, even though it's only a year in, Troy Weaver has established himself enough to where you can trust him and you can trust that whatever decision he does make with this pick is the right decision moving forward.
I will say that if the Pistons end up swapping with the Rockets, I would be very happy with Jalen Green. Like, Jalen Green is a phenomenal prospect in his own regards. But as we've said since the Pistons won the lottery, Cade Cunningham is just a step ahead, and a sizable step ahead, at least in my opinion. But if the Pistons traded back, let's say it's with Houston, so they're getting the number two pick, the future draft capital, maybe someone like Kevin Porter Jr. or Christian Wood is involved in that type of trade, and they end up with Jalen Green. I just want to preface it now because I'm not sure how the podcast schedule looks next week with the draft. We really haven't decided. And I think that that will also fall upon what we decide with the live show. But if the Pistons go into the draft, end up trading the pick, let's say it's with Houston, let's say they take the number two pick and they get Jalen Green, like, on top of everything else that they're going to score back in that deal, like, I'll be very happy with Jalen Green because he's going to help the Pistons. They do need a guy that can go out and just score the basketball and do it in bunches. And obviously Jalen Green can do just that. A three level scorer, handles the basketball very smoothly, would be a great pick. But I still think it all comes back to Cade Cunningham. This is the final week that we really have to talk about this, unless we do another show prior to the draft. That's TBD, as I mentioned. But either way, you know, if the Pistons come out of this with like Jalen Suggs or for some reason, then it's like, what are we doing here? But assuming like it's someone like Jalen Green, sure. I still think at the end, it's going to be Cade Cunningham.
Yeah. I mean, the fact is he only scheduled one workout and it was with the Pistons. It seems very unlikely that if he thought he was going to be going to another team, that he would only schedule one workout, right? That just seems like common sense to me.
Yeah. And if he didn't go, I don't know. I also feel like if the Pistons weren't going to draft him, he would not have worked out with them. But also, like, whoever has the first pick is taking Cade Cunningham. So it's like he didn't need to work out for anyone in the first place. There was no like red cards that, hey, we need to bring this guy in for a workout to make sure he's the number one guy. Like, it was known. So
I think it's also important, and of course this is not going to sway Troy Weaver's mind whatsoever, but Pistons fans want Cade in Detroit. He is not just, I think, the overwhelming favorite to be the number one pick. He's the overwhelming favorite among fans of the team. Like you said, Mike, he was at the Tigers game on Monday, which the Tigers, fun game, they absolutely smacked the Rangers. Miggy had like five RBIs. It was vintage performance. And you even heard at a certain point, not only was Isaiah Stewart there with him, so was Dwayne Casey, but the fans in the stands started a "We want Cade" chant. We want Cade. So I don't think there's any question about who the fans want in Detroit at this point. I also don't think there's much question about whether the organization is really, really into him. Like you said, there's a 5% chance they go with someone else, but it seems very unlikely to me that you would have your head coach and one of your star young players coming into Detroit to watch a Tigers game with a guy that they're probably not going to draft.
Last thing I want to say on this, and then we can move on. The other thing with this is, yeah, and it kind of builds off your point of the Pistons fans want Cade Cunningham. That also kind of gives Troy Weaver a pass of, like, if for some reason Cade Cunningham didn't pan out, he's not getting fired for that. He's not getting blasted by the media, by the fans, for his decision to draft Cade Cunningham, because that was backed by everyone. All the media says Cade Cunningham's the number one pick. The city of Detroit wants Cade Cunningham to be the number one pick. So there's no backlash. You know, if for some reason Cade Cunningham doesn't pan out, that's not going to fall on Troy Weaver. So that's just another, like, it doesn't sway his decision, like, knowing that, but it's just something to consider, like, about it. Like, it's not going to be Troy Weaver's fault if he makes the pick that everyone thinks he should make. And if for some reason it doesn't work out, it's not on him. It's on everyone that thought Cade was the guy. So that's just kind of the last thing I wanted to bring up about that. And then obviously if you guys had anything else on that, we can get into it or we can move along. We got some betting stuff. So I'm excited to get into that a little bit.
We do have some betting stuff, and I guess I'll just wrap it up. I wanted to let you guys talk a little bit more as I sift through my technological problems, but Cade only scheduled one workout. He would be very pleased if he was drafted by Detroit. Houston would not be able to put together any package that I think would entice, other than throwing everything in the kitchen sink, other than like Kevin Porter Jr. maybe, at Detroit. And I don't know. I feel like this is still just a foregone conclusion, and it's just speculating. I mean, they have to bring in those other prospects just as a formality almost, because you never know what can happen. Maybe Houston does throw some Godfather offer or whatnot. So it's due diligence. Pretty much that's really it. It would be silly if they didn't work out Jalen Green or Jalen Suggs or Evan Mobley. So let's go ahead and move on to a little bit of betting. Like Aaron said, PointsBet USA sets the Pistons line at 25.5 wins. Last year, Detroit was obviously 20-52 in that truncated season. Guys, over under 25.5 wins for the Pistons next year.
I'm taking the over. They were on a better than 25 win pace last year before they basically shut down shop for the last 2 months of the season. So for me, that seems like a weirdly low number, because they are going to have the number one pick. They were going to win probably 23, 24 games last year. It seems difficult to believe that unless Jeremy Grant and a couple other players even go down, that they're not going to outperform last season's record. And that they're not going to outperform 25 wins. That just seems really low for me, especially when you put Cade Cunningham into the mix. I would say even if they didn't get Cade, I would think next season they could win 26 games, just based on the fact that they'd have a whole season of Killian Hayes, Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart growing a little bit more. So for me, I'm taking the over big time. It was kind of weird for me because they're tied with the Magic for the worst record in terms of betting odds in the East. And I look at those respective rosters and what they can have on their bench and on the floor going into next season, and I think the Magic are clearly in a worse position than the Pistons. So for me, it's a little strange. Obviously, they're not going to have a lot of money to work with in terms of free agency, just due to the reality of the Blake Griffin buyout, but even in that case, they don't need that much to get to 30 wins as far as I see it, especially when you put Cade Cunningham into the fold, who is by all means a pretty NBA ready player.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking the over on this. 25.5. The Pistons were 20-52 in 72 games last year, so going to be a better team. Cade Cunningham, I mean, Jasper's, you hit on everything really important there, but you add Cade Cunningham, you get an offseason of development for a lot of your core guys. Jeremy Grant's going to Team USA. Sadiq Bey was with Team USA. I mean, Jeremy Grant's going to the Olympics with Team USA. Like, the only thing that's derailing this team from 26 wins is a slew of injuries, because this team was hyper competitive last year for the record that they had. And they ended up, like you mentioned, resting a lot of their key players, Jeremy Grant, Mason Plumlee, towards the end of the season. Even Rodney Magruder was someone that couldn't get on the courts for some reason that befuddles me at the end of last season. I swear to God, that was sarcasm. And because neither of you even gave me the slightest chuckle, I have to.
I'm trying to be nice to Rodney Magruder.
But
poor guy.
Yeah, this is a ease. Like, I just went on points bet, and I don't see where I can actually bet on this because I'd like to go put some money on this. I'm a DraftKings. I got DraftKings. I got FanDuel. I've got Bet Online. I don't see this. I don't even see this bet on points bet. So if they want to throw these futures up on Bet Online, hey, show the sponsor a little love. I'd love
there
to go on.
Go. I like it.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to go smash the over on this because I just don't see a world where the Pistons don't end up with at least 26 wins. Like, this is a team that last week we were talking about how they really should at least be a play-in team, if not better. You're going to need more than 26 wins to do that. So I'm all in on the over on this. I think these lines are a little bit, who made them? That's my question. Who made them? Because they're not, I just 25 and a half, the Pistons in the East get the least amount of wins. Like, even the Cavs, sorry, Mike, the Cavs got 28 and a half.
Be careful.
Three more wins that projected than the Pistons. Come on. I can't believe it.
Let me play devil's advocate here. I agree. I think that's low, especially tied with Orlando, who I think is objectively worse. Not because they're, you know, a poorly run team or anything. I think the Vooch trade gives them ammo to get some good players that they can mold together with Markelle Fultz and Cole Anthony. It's just they're super young. They have a new coach. They should be down there. I don't think the Pistons should be down there. They have a much better roster. They have the number one pick in the draft, who is an impact win now type guy. But let me play devil's advocate. Who do we think in the East is going to be significantly worse than they were last year? I mean, looking at the over under here, the Nets are at 55 and a half. I think the Nets are going to be better than they were last year with a full year of Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant. We'll have to see how the rest of the roster shakes out. The Bucks just won the championship. The Sixers are a bit of a wild card at 51 and a half because you don't know what they're going to do with Ben Simmons. But if they, let's just say they go out and do get a Damian Lillard type of player, I mean, I think that does help them. The Celtics at 47 and a half, I think, is really interesting because I think they might get worse based on the moves that they need to make. The Hawks just made the Eastern Conference Finals. The Heat, I think, could be a little bit worse, although they were pretty banged up last year with COVID. Indiana's kind of in the same boat. They might have to move Sabonis or Turner, but they'll get Caris LeVert, which would help. The Raptors were terrible last year, and they're going to get the fourth pick. The Knicks just made the playoffs. The Hornets didn't have LaMelo Ball for an extended period of time. I mean, I don't really know what their ceiling is either. Chicago will have Vooch and Zach LaVine. The Wizards are kind of wonky. They're just a conundrum of a team. I mean, maybe Scott Brooks swapping him out for Wes Unseld Jr. impacts things. And then all of a sudden we're down at the Cavs, Magic, and Pistons. So I think the Eastern Conference has a glut of teams. And look, the Pistons can be better, but still and will lose plenty of games. I feel like because this is pretty early before the draft, before free agency, before training camp or injuries happen, that this is this points bet USA just kind of sticking losses on a team because somebody in the conference has to lose games. And it's probably going to be those bottom, let's just say four teams. I'll just include the Wizards in there as well. Really, it's bottom three teams. The bottom three teams, someone's got to lose games. And those are the three teams that, you know, I think are probably going to be on the losing end. That being said, 25 and a half is definitely too low. And I would definitely hammer the over, but I think there's a case to be made that the East has some pretty darn good teams. And somebody has to lose games. And, you know, it's probably, chances are, if I was betting, it's probably the really young, really inexperienced team.
That's fair. I think if it was me, like where I see the Pistons at, like the Raptors are at 39 and a half, the Knicks are at 37 and a half, and then the Hornets and Bulls are both at 37 and a half as well. Like, I don't think they're, I wouldn't put them, especially for like odds like this, I would not put them all the way up at 44 and a half like the Pacers, but where the Knicks and the Hornets are at 37 and a half, like that's very realistic. I think maybe it's not for odds, but like that's where I can see the Pistons being around in comparable, wow, stuttering really bad there, comparable those teams in terms of wins. Like I think they can be around the Knicks and the Hornets and even the Raptors wins. Like the Raptors getting 39 and a half wins after the season they had, I get things, you know, it may have been an anomaly, but they're still not like a phenomenal team. So I just, that's where I'm at.
Yeah. I think the Pistons in a lot of ways actually have like less questions than some other teams with higher projected win totals. For example, yeah, the Hawks just made the Eastern Conference Finals, but what's going to happen with like, they depended heavily on guys like Danilo Gallinari and John Collins this year. And those guys are a bit of a question mark. The Heat, that roster construction is really weird right now. The Wizards, that's another team that like they made the play-in, but do you really necessarily see them moving forward or regressing? Same goes for like the Knicks. Do I really think that that's a team that's on its way up or a team that maybe outperformed what it was really capable of last year and is going to get a little worse this year?
Philly. Yeah, actually, I agree with that a lot. Sorry to cut you off, but
no, please.
I agree with that a lot. The Knicks remind me of teams like the Pistons. Who was it before them? It was like the Wizards, the Bucks. They got into the playoffs for a year and then they regressed. And I can very much see that happening for the Knicks because I look at that roster and yes, Julius Randle, phenomenal season. Give him his flowers. RJ Barrett, young up and coming player. He's going to get better. But outside of that, are they going to improve their roster? Because that's not a good enough roster to continue to win.
Yeah, that, like, I mean, look, Aaron, that's a team that really relies on, like, Reggie Bullock. Right. Really relies on him. They really relied on Derrick Rose, who's a free agent, by the way. Same goes for, like, Toronto. Toronto, what happens? Yeah, maybe they get Jalen Suggs, but maybe they also lose Kyle Lowry. Yeah, the Boston Celtics get back Jaylen Brown, but what is the rest of that roster going to look like? They just lost. They just traded away Kemba Walker. So I don't know. The way I look
that,
at this,
that may have been a net positive.
It very well could have, but at the same time, you're dealing with now more questions. New head coach in Boston. The Pistons have one thing that I really personally think goes a long way in any professional sports team, and that's continuity. Same head coach, same GM, largely the same roster. That goes a long way in terms of just picking up little wins here or there. When other teams are sliding, you're staying up. And that continuity and that youthful exuberance, that having another year of everyone being in the same system and really understanding what's going on, not just with the game plan, but also with each other, that pays off. And I think the Pistons are in a really good position where they just need to add a couple pieces. We saw it through so many games last year. They had to cut a lot of the fat at the beginning of the season, and then they became far more competitive, a little too competitive. So then at the end of the season, they had to rest a bunch of guys. I don't think that's necessarily going to happen this year. They don't really have fat to trim from the roster. They have most things set in stone here. It's unlikely that they're going to be trying to actively tank at the end of the season. So I look at all these factors, and for me, I think Detroit is in a really good position to improve, while a lot of other teams have all these questions about their rosters and their coaches and their front offices. Are my stars happy? Are they getting worse? Detroit doesn't have those questions. So when I think of over-unders, when I think of how the season is going to play out, those are the factors that I really think about, not necessarily was this team in the playoffs last year or not.
Yeah, and I think the Pistons could make a, you know, they're very similar to the Knicks. They had a most improved player, a top three most improved player last year. And they have put together good pieces, you know, around that guy. And also he's the fulcrum for the offense. Jeremy Grant's not the fulcrum in the way that Julius Randle is, because when Julius Randle was bad, the Knicks were almost unwatchably horrific on offense, unless Derrick Rose was having a little bit of a vintage spurt. But I think, Aaron, how you had mentioned that you could see the Pistons right around there. I think that's pretty good, because I think those teams are, you know, similar, not exact, but they're similar, with, you know, with good vets around them and some decent young players. I mean, Emmanuel Quickley was awfully good. Obi Toppin is not very good, but, you know, they put together a good roster that just kind of fit, and the Pistons did that too. So I think we're all in agreement. I'm sorry, what?
Future Cav, Obi Toppin.
And we're on to our third topic. The Bucks win the NBA championship. No. I'm sorry, Aaron. I don't know. I know the Cavs were enamored with him because he's from Dayton, and I think every Cavs fan was enamored with him because he went to Dayton, but I don't that does nothing for me. Obi Toppin and Kevin Knox.
Cleveland's got the right to like the guys that are hometown for reasons, you know. So
if someone's born in Akron and they're a basketball player, you might as well take a shot.
Yeah, between right? LeBron and Nance and Steph Curry being born in Akron, yes, something might be in the water.
That's right.
I need to drive like 20 minutes to Akron and drink some water. We'll see what happens. But anyway, guys, let's move on to our third and final topic. That's the Milwaukee Bucks winning an NBA championship, their first championship in 50 years. And speaking of 50, Giannis Antetokounmpo put up 50 in a closeout win at home. He gets the finals MVP. He gets a ring. Just quickly, any thoughts now that the dust has started to settle a little bit on this NBA Finals? Any quick thoughts on the Bucks winning a championship and all the hoopla that we've gone through with Mike Budenholzer and, you know, the Bogdanovich fiasco where the Bucks were fined for tampering essentially, and Giannis is supermax and not sure if he's going to sign it to the bubble, and how they were basically punted out by the Miami Heat. You know, a lot has happened to this team in a relatively short amount of time, and they came back and now they're champions.
2 weeks ago, Bud was getting fired. Now he's going to get a fat extension. And that just goes to show you, one, you can't overreact. Two, coaches, like, I don't know. It's crazy how reactionary we are as a lovers of this sport, because we watch one game and we base our all opinions in that present time on what just happened in that one game. We don't look at things that happened in the past or what might happen in the future. We just look at that one game and we put these blinders on, and we watch the Bucks go down in the series against Atlanta. And it's fire Mike Budenholzer. This guy can't make adjustments. This guy is the reason why the Bucks are not going to get anywhere. He's got to go. And then what did the Bucks do? They came back. They routed the Hawks in that series. Giannis looked amazing. They made the necessary adjustments, and they advanced to the finals. They get to the finals. Phoenix goes up 2-0. Oh, Bud can't make any adjustments. It's the same thing as last time. He just got lucky. They got to fire him. He's lost two in a row. They're not going to win the championship. Giannis needs more. And then they go out and win four in a row. You don't think adjustments were made? Like, we're so reactionary to the present moment. And we didn't watch, like, this is every year teams that win the championship are good teams. They lose games. They go and have bad stretches. They fall behind in important moments. Like, these things happen. And while maybe the Bucks don't have a great track record, like, maybe Mike Budenholzer doesn't have a great track record, but let's go back and remember the teams that Mike Budenholzer coached. Like, they were good teams.
Oh, yeah. But
was Al Horford and
Hawks won 60 games?
They did. But was Al Horford and Paul Millsap and Jeff Teague, like, were they ever really going to beat LeBron?
No.
Right? No one was going to beat LeBron in the Eastern Conference. None of those teams were.
But the way that they lost, that's like, I mean, LeBron like undid that team. Like as soon as the Cavs figured out, oh, here's how we beat them, it was like picked them apart. It was like the Raptors. The Raptors.
Yeah, I think
just got Bud's, picked apart.
I think Bud still does. He does deserves a lot of the criticism that's been put his way. But like you said, Aaron, that is, you know, game by game, series by series. When you put the whole body of work together, Mike Budenholzer is going to be in the Hall of Fame one day.
Well, it's just like
without question, he's going to be a Hall of Fame head coach, which is crazy to think about, since I think even midway through the season, some people were thinking, should the Bucks fire him? It really is amazing. But like, that's how the league goes.
If he lost to Brooklyn, if he's Kevin gone. Durant's shoe size was, oh, yeah, gone.
Yeah, he's gone. He's gone. And now he's a Hall of Famer.
He was a Kevin Durant shoe size away from being fired.
And you know what? I want to say, speaking of guys who have solidified their legacy in this series, Giannis. Like, we have to talk about Giannis. What he did last night was incredible for so many reasons. 50, 14, 5 blocks in a closeout game 6 speaks for itself, but it wasn't
disgusting.
Not just that though. He went 17 of 19 from the line. And this is 3 weeks after looking like he blew his knee out in the conference finals. He went from people thinking he's done for the season and maybe even next season to arguably having solidified his legacy as an all-time great player quicker than anyone else in the history of the NBA. There are a couple guys you can make an argument for. Maybe Kareem, maybe LeBron James. But the fact of the matter is, what Giannis has done at 26 is win two MVPs, a Defensive Player of the Year, an NBA championship, a Finals MVP, oh, and a Most Improved Player. Like, and I've never seen anyone at this age coming from where he did, where there was real questions whether this guy was even going to be an NBA player. It's unbelievable. And the attitude that he brings into it, even last night after winning the game, he has this level of humility and realness. And you can really tell this guy loves his family. Like, they won the game and he was calm until his wife came over. And he hugged her, and he goes away, and you see the tears streaming down his face. He had to sit down, calls his brother up, who's in his hotel room. They just talk for 2 minutes, and you can just see the joy on his face. Look, I might not like the Bucks as much as some other ostensible Pistons bloggers, but I don't see how anyone can root against Giannis Antetokounmpo. The guy is at the top of the world, and like, to have his attitude, to have his success, to go through the things he's gone through, not just in terms of his growing up, but in terms of his NBA career, it's amazing. It really is amazing. And I can't wait to see how we're going to look back on his career 10, 15 years from now.
He's 26. And it wasn't too.
Yeah, he's 26. Ugh. And I loved it too. He came up to everyone after, you could hear him saying it on the broadcast to all those other guys on the team, Bobby Portis, Chris Middleton. He's kept on saying, we're going to do it again. We're going to come back and we're going to do it again. I loved it, man. I just don't see how you can't root for that team ex-Piston Chris Middleton on fire, like closing out games, Bud taking, you know, basically going from fired to Hall of Fame in two series time. Drew Holiday, despite playing poorly offensively, really shutting down Chris Paul for the last four games of the series. Like,
he you won have to them give this game five.
Yeah, 100%.
He won them game five.
Yeah. So for me, like, yeah, amazing, amazing series, amazing year, and what an amazing team.
Yeah, it's a great, great series for the Bucks, and it wasn't that long ago that Giannis was getting slander back in the Brooklyn series about, oh, this guy doesn't have enough. He's not good enough. He doesn't have a big enough bag. Like, just to, I'm going to do it, tie it back to my Mike Budenholzer spiel. Like, we criticize these people, these players, these coaches, et cetera. And then we watch them go out and Giannis goes 40-40, like 32 and then 50 or whatever, you know, four or five game stretch it was where he was just absolutely unstoppable. And I'm so glad for him. I'm happy for him. I thought the Suns were going to win, at least force it to seven. And Giannis just was not going to let it happen. This guy has caught so much flack. All this nonsense about him being a Robin and him not having a bag, him not being a hooper, like that utter nonsense, that garbage that has no business being talked about. He just went out there, he played the game, and he dominated. And I'm very happy for him because I am a fan of seeing a superstar with his team, not forming a super team, not leaving for the big market, but staying home and getting the job done. And that's what Giannis did. And I'm very happy for him in that regard. He played phenomenal. He shut up all the people spewing nonsense daily about him. And it was a great series. Great for him. Great for the Bucks. Congratulations. And the Pistons, they can take some lessons from this, I think.
Yeah, guys, can the Pistons take anything from this series? Aaron, you seem to have some ideas already.
Well, I think they can take lessons from both teams. And they're similarly linked because I think both teams are really built in the same style. Like, you can very much build through the draft and succeed. There's been a lot of talk over the years about, oh, you can draft all you want, but you're going to have to trade for a superstar. You're going to have to trade for the guy. And that's just not the case. Giannis was drafted. Devin Booker was drafted. DeAndre Ayton was drafted. These very good players, and Chris Middleton, I'm going to count him in that because he was a throw-in in a trade. Like, he wasn't traded when he was an all-star, a high-level player. Like, he was very much just an afterthought prospect, essentially, in that Brandon Jennings trade years ago.
Although, to be fair, the Bucks did insist on Middleton being a part of that deal. Originally, the Pistons did not want to trade him. So, I think you're right to say that, Aaron. Like, that speaks to the Bucks scouting process right there, right?
Right. Like, it's homegrown, young guys, doesn't have to be. Like, yes, the Suns went out and got Chris Paul, a good player, but he's not the superstar that he once was. The Bucks went out and got Drew Holiday, a good player, but not a superstar. And you can do that. Like, if you want to kind of compare to the Pistons, like, Jeremy Grant could, quote unquote, be that same type of guy, like that good player, but not necessarily a superstar. And the Pistons can build that team, build a contending team through the draft. They're going to have an option to go get. Maybe Cade Cunningham never turns into a player as high level as Giannis or as high level as Devin Booker, but they're going to have a chance to go out and draft that guy that could be their guy. And obviously that's Cade Cunningham, but they're going to have that opportunity. And then you look and see, well, what else do they have? They drafted Isaiah Stewart, Sadiq Bey, Killian Hayes. They're going to have more draft picks. They have someone like Sekou Nwaba. Can they develop him? Can they develop some of these other guys like the Bucks have allowed, even though he was out this series and for the majority of the playoffs, like they have allowed Dante DiVincenzo to thrive. And like they've gotten production from other players. I mean, look at the Suns with DeAndre Ayton, a guy that did not have a great first couple of years in the league. And then he went out and ended up being a huge piece for them in every single playoff series. So you can very much build through the draft. You can very much rely on internal development. And yeah, some moves are going to have to be made. You're not going to get every single piece you need to win from the draft itself, but you can very much build your cornerstone around the draft. And with where the Pistons are at, how many young guys are on the roster, how many draft picks they have, they kind of need to follow that same path and don't need to buy into that idea of we need to go spend all our money trying to add a free agent or trade for a superstar on that wants to get out of the place that he's at, hoping that he'll re-sign like other teams have done and will continue to do. This is very much the path for them to follow in terms of building through the draft, taking years to develop their guys. The Bucks took their time with Giannis. The Suns took their time with Devin Booker and drafting these other pieces like Cameron Johnson, Mikal Bridges, obviously DeAndre Ayton, I already mentioned, but draft your guys, believe in your guys, develop them, and you don't have to make any rash decisions after a season of failure. Like the Suns were an atrocity. They were one of the worst teams in the league at year in and year out. And then, yes, they added Chris Paul, a good player, but then everything started to click for them, and you got to see Mikal Bridges have phenomenal moments. We talked about DeAndre Ayton having the season that he had. Your young guys, you give them that opportunity, and we saw how fun and how bright their future is. It's not – for neither of these teams was it, all right, we won our championship. Now all these guys are going to be free agents. We can't afford them. They're going to want to go do a new super team. Like, they're young. They're going to continue to get better. They've got futures in the league. They're not trending towards – you know, they're not out of their peak. They're heading towards their peak, or they're in their peak. And the Pistons really should follow that path of building a roster, path of building a franchise.
Yeah, I agree, Aaron. I agree with pretty much everything you said. I think it comes down to not listening to what people on the outside of your organization are saying, staying consistent. And that's what both of these teams have done. They've built through the draft. And even after their stars have come under scrutiny, have been criticized, they've stuck by them. They've developed them. They've kept along with them. Giannis said it last night. He and Chris Middleton have been on the same team for 8 years now. 8 years together. Or 7 years, something like that. Regardless, they've been together for the better part of a decade. Devin Booker was heavily criticized in, you know, for Phoenix not being a winning team. But what did both of these organizations do? They kept their eyes on the prize. They stayed consistent. They didn't listen to outside criticism and fold the team, trade guys prematurely. What they did was they built around their stars. They built through the draft. Then after they had a base there, they went out, got head coaches that they felt could take them over the top, went out, got veteran players that, yeah, were not superstars, but were there to solidify the rosters and fill a lot of the holes. And then they took that step. And I think that's absolutely a formula the Pistons should and currently are following. They're building a culture. They're staying consistent. They are building through the draft. They're doing their own thing. They're not caving to media scrutiny. So, yeah, I think there's a ton of lessons that the Pistons can take from this. And frankly, I think they already have a pretty good idea of the direction they're going. And it's a similar direction to both the Bucks and the Suns.
Yeah, you can build a championship team, or at least a championship level team, organically. You know, you can do it with the guys that you draft, the guys that you hire, and you don't have to stock up on a whole bunch of assets like the Thunder are doing. You could do it organically. You could do it from within with growth. And then, you know, you have a team in place to where when you need to swing for the fences with that one player to put you over, like the Bucks did for Drew Holiday, you know, you have the assets in place to make that happen. And it was a perfect storm. And I don't like to entertain the argument of, well, the Bucks needed injuries all over the place. The Suns needed injuries all over the place to get to where they are. You play the team that's in front of you. And that's it. I mean, that's really the long and short of it. You play the team that's in front of you, and injuries are a part of the game. If you're a stacked team, stacked, up top, and your bench is weak, and you have an injury to one of those stars, that's the risk that you take. Do you think anybody, on the Warriors is saying, well, maybe that 2015 championship didn't count because there was no Kyrie Irving, there was no Kevin Love? No, I don't think that they're actually doing that. And they're, obviously doing that with Draymond Green being out for a game in 2016. And it's, you play the team in front of you.
2017. And they got lucky. They got lucky with the CP3 injury in Houston. They're trying, find me one NBA championship team that did not get lucky, quote unquote, in some way or another on their way to the championship. Doesn't exist. Teams have an abnormal cold stretch or an abnormal hot stretch. Somebody gets hurt. Somebody comes back. The seeding works out in a certain way. That's the game, man. And all you can do is win the games in front of you. And that's what the Bucks did. So,
you play the team that's in front of you. And congratulations again to the Milwaukee Bucks winning a championship. That is a big, that's a 180 from being ousted last year in the second round. They've got a very good young team, and I have no doubt that they'll be right back fighting for another championship next year. Bucks and six. Shout out to Brandon Jennings. Fellas, anything else before we end this pod?
I think I'm good. I mean, smash the over on 25.5 wins for the Pistons next year. And
smash Cade Cunningham in the draft next week.
We'll keep you posted on our draft coverage too. You can stay up to date on that at Palace of Pistons on Twitter. So we'll keep you posted on what we're doing in that regard in terms of the show next week. The live show, which boys, if you want to get on the live show with me, like, I'd say let's book it and let's have some fun with it. I know we'll have some people that want to watch us and get our live reactions and ask us questions afterwards. So I'm thinking we'll put something together for that. We'll keep you posted with all that type of good stuff. But that's it for me today. I mean,
excellent.
Unless you want to do another hour and a half, I can forever.
Yeah, we easily could. We could do it an hour and a half extra next week. We'll have plenty more to talk about, and we'll be hyped. The adrenaline will be flowing, so that'll make it even easier. Jasper, anything before we close?
No, that's it for me. Go Pistons!
Go Pistons! And now we're officially into the off season. People will try to tell you that now it's officially baseball. Time getting into the playoffs or NFL time. No. Nope, NBA free agency. That's where it's at, fellas. That is easily more exciting than preseason football. It's not even particularly close. Maybe I made some NFL fans angry, but, the truth hurts. So, yes, keep an eye out for all of our socials, as Aaron had said, at Palace of Pistons for a live broadcast that we might put together. I think it would be pretty fun. We are 1 week away from the NBA draft, so definitely a lot to take in, a lot to analyze, and we hope that you will hang out with us and listen to us and provide your feedback for us. This is a really exciting time getting Cade Cunningham in a Pistons uniform. I want to thank Bet Online as well, our sponsor, as always. And once again, Palace of Pistons podcast is part of the Believe Podcast Network. For Jasper Apollonia and Aaron Johnson, my name is Mike Anguilano. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you later, Pistons fans.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
Yeah. You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.